We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. You want to get your Bibles out. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, second half of the chapter, verses 9 through 16. We're going to be talking about the wisdom of God today. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. I'll read that. I'll be reading from the NASB. Things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered the human heart, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among people knows the thoughts of a person except the spirit of that person that is in him? So also the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining the spiritual truths, spiritual thoughts, with spiritual words. But a natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him and cannot understand these because they are spiritually discerned. But the one who is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is discerned by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? Let's pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for 1 Corinthians written by Paul, inspired by you. Thank you that we can study your words as we go through this verse by verse. Thank you for the people that are here today. God, we pray that we all are softened, have softened hearts and be molded to conformity of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, may my words be your words as I share this morning from this passage. Thank you for being an awesome God and a wise God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, I was going to ask for a volunteer this morning, but I decided to bring a volunteer this morning. This here is at Armadillo Deidai. Anybody know what an Armadillo Deidai is? It's a little potato bug. Actually, I got these yesterday, and I'm kind of glad I didn't ask for a volunteer because the volunteers I brought, it looks like they have perished. Sorry, guys. Anyway, there's a couple of those guys in there. Yeah. Joshua said, why don't you pick something you can pronounce like a bee? Well, I thought about using a bee, but the problem is bees are actually pretty smart, and I was looking for a fairly simple creature like a potato bug. Bees are amazing. Potato bugs, not so much. They're just mechanically moving around, kind of like a Roomba, bouncing off of things, looking for food. They don't display emotions. When they find food, they eat it. They're kind of a dumb little animal. They don't farm. They don't plan for the future. They don't use tools. They don't communicate great thoughts. They're just a simple little bug. If this were alive, I could give it a little piece of food, but it's not going to say thank you. It's just going to sit there and munch on it if it's hungry. It's a bug. It does not understand what I'm saying. It cannot pronounce its name. I can barely pronounce its name. Armadillo Deidai. Did Adam come up with that? Who named the animals? Wouldn't that be a fun... Yeah, it kind of looks like an armadillo. Armadillo Deidai, yeah. People, on the other hand, are amazing. Each one of you are amazing people. I've never met somebody, truly, I've never met somebody that I didn't find something amazing about them. I like to look for really cool things in people, and rarely am I disappointed. People can think, we can process ideas, we can plan, we have emotions. We can work individually or as a team to accomplish amazing objectives. Some really cool feats of engineering, and I thought of some that people have done. I think of the space shuttle and then the 747 that needs to move it. One thing is that the space shuttle that was designed to be a reusable space vehicle goes up there, does stuff, comes back down, they've retired it. But somebody said, well, we need to move it from, say, California to Florida. Let's put it on a 747. some team of people came up with that. That's astonishing to me. Or a long time ago, the Egyptians built the pyramids. 80-ton bricks, hundreds of feet in the air. How did they do that? I have no idea. I read about it. People have some ideas, but there's nothing really plausible as to how that could have possibly been accomplished. And then I brought this little example right here. Maybe if I can untape it. This little guy astonishes me. It's a little micro SD card. It can hold 156 gigabytes of data. That's like almost all of the books in all of the libraries in Cochise County on this little guy. People are amazing. How do they come up with this stuff? Compared to this little potato bug. I'm not proposing evolution, I'm just making a comparison. There's a vast difference between the intellect of a potato bug and even the simplest people that I've met. Sorry, bug, no offense. Think about that delta, that difference between the potato bug and your average guy. I'm not even talking about an engineer, just your run-of-the-mill person that you run into, okay? Now, hold that thought while we talk about people compared to God, the wisdom of God, God's creativity. If you can stretch your imagination to compare the intellect of God even to the greatest minds of mankind, the difference between a potato bug and a person is so small compared to even the brightest minds and the simple thoughts of God. Huge, huge difference between those two differences. Does that make sense? That's where I want to go a little bit today with this. None of us can comprehend the mind of God. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, we just read, the things that the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard and which have not entered into the human mind, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Let's think about that phrase, all that God has prepared for those who love him. As Jeff talked about last week, this is not for a funeral service. We're not talking about heaven someday. Paul's not talking about after we die and go to heaven and spending eternity with him. We're talking about the today. Paul's talking about the here and now. This section, things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard and which has not entered the human mind, all that God has prepared for those who love him, comes from Isaiah 64, verse 4. So I looked that passage up. I'm like, wow, this is some really powerful stuff. So I want to bring that here to us today. I'm going to back up one verse before. So Isaiah 64, 3, and I'm going to finish in verse 8. Isaiah 64, 3 through 8 says, when you did awesome things, we're talking about God here, when you did awesome things which were not, which we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked in your presence. Imagine that. The mountains quaked at your presence. Sometimes when I come, we have a little dog. It's a little dachshund. It's about this big, okay? Sometimes when I come home, it quakes. It's like, Dad's home, I'm going to die. I'm not going to kill the dog, all right? But it quakes. The mountains quake in the presence of God. From the days of old, they have not heard or perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you who acts on behalf of one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices in doing righteous, who remembers you in your days, in your ways. Behold, you were angry, for we have sinned. We continued in our sin for a long time, yet shall we be saved. For all of us have come like the one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our wrongdoings like the wind, they take us away. There is no one who calls you on your name, who stirs himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have surrendered us to the power of our wrongdoings. Verse 8, But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. Wow. God, you are our Father, our Daddy. You mold us and make us beautiful people, even though we continue to sin, so sinful deeds. You have forgiveness, God, and I just say thank you. We are forgiven. This passage in Isaiah is for us today. We cannot fathom the magnitude of how devastating our sins are, seen or unseen by those around us. Sometimes we do sins in secret and we think, oh, no one's going to know. The ripples continue out and have collateral damage beyond our imagination. It's devastating. Yet God continues to gently mold and grow us bit by bit. Okay, back to 1 Corinthians 2, the second half of verse 9. We cannot perceive with our eye, our ear, our mind what God is doing right now to each one of us today. I want to share a little bit about my testimony. I was saved about 7 years old. I went to a Bible camp, and in the summer, it was a week long, and during the middle of the week, the speaker presented the gospel and said, you can choose to spend eternity with God in heaven, or if you don't, you can choose to spend eternity in hell. And the lady said, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior if you want to go to heaven. It was a fairly simple presentation of the gospel, but I was 7 years old, and I remember, I want to spend my eternity in heaven. I don't want to spend my eternity in hell. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the simplicity of that, as a child, it was for the future. I was making a long-term retirement plan as a little kid. I wasn't thinking about today. As opposed to discipling and growing in the Lord today. So a lot of times people think, oh, you want to be a Christian or you want to do certain things or whatever, and the certain things, the activities, doesn't earn us any credit or merit to God. We have, God did that. Christ did that 2,000 years ago on the cross. So that we can have a day-to-day relationship with Jesus Christ. So I wake up in the morning and say, thank you, God, for a new day. Before I even put my feet on the cold floor in the morning, I talk to God throughout the day, and he talks to me. He's given me his word so that I can study it and enjoy it. I seek him for counsel and wisdom. It's a relationship. I mess up, I make mistakes, and God forgives me. I'm like, God, I'm really sorry, but thank you. It's a intimate and continual relationship with God, and that's what Paul's writing about here. Living in the Spirit, choosing the joy and peace of living with God today. This is peace. Peace with God. Remember the mountains quake at God's presence? I would quake too. I will quake too when I stand before God someday. This is a famous picture called Peace in the Storm. There's in the lower middle a picture of a dove. I love this picture because peace isn't living in a simple, quiet world. Peace is having, knowing that God is exponentially, greatly bigger than the storm or troubles, and God himself is sovereign and in control. God is protecting us like the rocks are for that dove. Even though there's thunderstorms and water crashing all about, nothing comes to us without God's permission. And we can have peace knowing that he is our shield and sustenance. We cannot learn the truths of God that he has revealed in a laboratory with a microscope or discerned with careful measurements and study. We need God's Spirit. You can't say, let's put God in a jar and study him like this. It's not like that. You can't say, study of behavior and come up with God's attributes. It's unnatural. It's supernatural. All of the world, everybody who is not a believer in Christ, we live for ourselves. We want to make ourselves better. We might do things for other people, but even so, it might be something to put ourselves up a little bit. It's unnatural for us to live in a way that gives love and respect and honor to other people. Verse 10, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. For to us God revealed these truths through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. What are these truths? It's God's wisdom given to us through his Spirit. I found James 3, verse 17 applicable. James 3, 17 says, but the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then peace-loving, It's gentle. It's reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits. It's impartial and free of hypocrisy. It's pure. It's clean. It's white. It's peace-loving, which is calm, orderly, kind of like tranquility, even during upsetting times, not rattled. God's wisdom is gentle. It's soft. It's kind, tactful, pleasant, and thoughtful. We should consider the words we say to other people to not be hurtful or when we try to build them up. God's wisdom is reasonable, which means it's just, it's sensible, it's fitting, proper, and level-headed. It has logic to it. God's wisdom is full of mercy, forgiving, patient. Patient when dealing with others. God's mercy is good fruits. It's productive. It's a hard worker. It's generous. God's wisdom is impartial. It's focused on God, not on petty little issues. It's not hypocritical. And four verses earlier in James 3, verse 13, humility comes from wisdom. In James 3, verse 13, it says, humility comes from wisdom. And then I made a little comparison. I'm like, hey, knowledge is to have information. What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Knowledge is having information or data about something. You can read a book and get knowledge. You can't read a book and get wisdom, maybe with the exception of the Bible, I would say. But 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge makes us feel important. Or another way of saying that is knowledge makes us conceited or big-headed. Wisdom, on the other hand, comes from the fear of God, and that's in Proverbs 9, verse 10. When we read God's word and we consider God's word throughout each day, wisdom results in humility. Knowledge makes us big-headed. Wisdom results in humility. That's not to say that knowledge isn't important. We can read in Proverbs and in the scriptures that it's wise. It's good for us to gain knowledge. But getting knowledge just for knowledge's sake makes us prideful. Okay, moving on to verse 11. The first half of verse 11 says, for who among people know the thought of a person except the spirit of the person that is in him? No one can read your mind. Studies have been done to see how people think. I found this little illustration here, how women think versus men think. Man logic, I'm going to go in the store, get the thing, and come out. Women logic is, I wasn't able to reduce this to the time allotted for today. How men think, on the next slide, Ange says, what you thinking about? Was I supposed to be thinking about something? No. I'm not thinking about anything. God knows your mind and what your thoughts are. Let's look at some passages about the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10, Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind to give each person according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. And then one of my favorite passages is Psalm 139, 1 through 7. Actually, we're going to pull a bunch of verses out of Psalm 139. The first part says, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You understand my thoughts from afar away. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before there is a word on my mind, behold, Lord, you know it all. You have encircled me from behind and in front and placed your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. This knowledge is too high. I cannot comprehend it. And later in verse 17, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count your thoughts for me, they would outnumber the sand. Wow. Think about that. God's thoughts for you and thoughts for me are greater than the grains of sand on this planet. And verse 23, search me, God, and know my heart. Put to me the test and know my anxious thoughts, and see that if there's any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way of understanding. We are not qualified to measure our own thoughts because we're corrupt. We have a skewed measuring stick, if you will. So, God, measure my thoughts and help me grow. All right, back to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. The second half says, so also the thoughts of God, no one knows them except the Spirit of God. So what about the thoughts of God? The thoughts of God. Wow. Zophar, one of Job's friends, talks about God's thoughts in Job chapter 11. Job chapter 11 says, can you discover the thoughts of God? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? God's thoughts are as high as the heavens. What can you do? They are deeper than hell. What can you know? They measure longer than the earth and broader than the sea. That's pretty impressive. When I think about this, I feel like a potato bug. I just want to curl up on a ball in the presence of God's awesomeness, quaking. But God has extended a hand down to me and say, be my friend. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 through 15 says, who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice and teach him? No, for all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. God picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. Pretty amazing, God. Are we in awe of who God is? If that glimpse of God doesn't give you goosebumps, maybe you want to check your pulse. That just inspires me. The wisdom of God. Verse 12, but we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. God's spirit guides us as we study God's word, the scriptures. To know the things, he gives us his scriptures to study and to know him more. What are the things freely God has given to us that we can know? He has given us peace. He's given us mercy. He's given us grace. He's given us the good fruit. I think of the fruit of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace, and so on. These are a few of the things given to us by God's Spirit. Verse 13. But we speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining the spiritual thoughts with the spiritual world. This is a process of truth from God passing to people, and then by discipleship passing to others. And you've heard me talk before, I value discipleship. Discipleship is a function of multiplication. For example, if one person here were to take under their wings, if you will, someone to mentor, in 1 year, you would have two people who are knowledgeable in God's word and have a relationship with him. Two people. In the second year, those two people could in turn disciple two more people, and you'd have four. And in 3 years, you'd have eight. In 4 years, have 16. 5 years, you'd have 32 people. There's about 32 people here. We're like 5 years into this already. We're doing good. The next page. 6 years would be 64 people. That'd be nice to have 64 people here. In 12 years, you'd have 2,048 years. That's only 5 or 6 years from now. Not too bad. Well, what if we kept going? We would have, in years 28, 29, 30. In years 30, you'd have reached 1 billion people. If you were to continue this process and every year one person were to disciple one more person, in 33 years, you would run out of people on the planet. Sign me up. That doesn't mean I have to go reach 8 billion people. That means I disciple one person. You disciple one person. each year. Not too hard. I think it's a doable plan. Verse 14, but the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural person or unsaved person is a non-believing person that does not receive the Spirit of God's message or instruction from him. These things are not discoverable by natural man. There is no connection. The lights are off. If someone is spiritually dead, they don't have the ability to plug into the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, to have him tune their conscience, to tap into God's wisdom, to tap into the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They live for self. They have rejected God. Verse 15, but the one who is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is discerned by no one. What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? That is, walking with God. To be Spirit-filled is to be walking with God, talking and praying in fellowship, to be close friends with God, to daily, hourly, and all the time be in relationship with God. Now, we talked about the awesomeness of God a few minutes ago. Let's revisit that. God holds the whole earth like a grain of sand, yet because of Christ, we can be called a friend of God. Back to James. James chapter 2, verse 23, it talks about Abraham. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Try again. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Abraham was called a friend of God. Are you a friend of God? I want to be God's friend. I am God's friend. I think of a time when I was visiting. We were on a motorcycle ride with some friends, and one of the guys there, not a believer, was repeatedly using God's name in vain. And after a few minutes, I was like, hey, buddy. He's like, what? I was like, Jesus Christ is my best friend. Have some respect. And he did. He stopped using God's name in vain. I said, he is my best friend. He can be your best friend too, I said to him. And he was like, we'll see about that. We continued on the motorcycle ride, and after half an hour, we got to a place where we took our helmets off and had a conversation. Thought it would be 5 or 10 minutes. An hour later, he was really interested in becoming God's friend, and that was great. I took the initiative to say, that's my best friend you're talking about. He didn't have a clue. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he can instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There's so many parallels between 1 Corinthians and Isaiah. It's almost like in your spare time, you should look up Isaiah and go through it and see how it's stitched together. Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. And Job again, a wise man, yet God asks him in chapter 38, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Wow, I love that. God thumping on Job. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? You don't even have the right words to ask the right questions. You're a long ways off. Quaking. Have you ever heard someone say, God wants this, or God wants that? Unless they have their index finger on a passage. Watch out for the dead bug. Unless they have their index finger on the page in the Bible and are wielding this sword correctly, they are in grave danger of standing before it in judgment of misusing God's name when they say, God wants this, God wants that. Be careful. In conclusion, God is awesome. No one can know God's amazing thoughts. God does, however, reveal himself to us through his Spirit. To try to know God without living in the Spirit is like a potato bug jumping up and down trying to convince me that the world is flat. Nope, I don't believe it. Spend some time in God's Word this week. God has revealed himself to us through his Word. You've heard me say it before. The Sunday sermon should not be a once-a-week biblical feast, but rather a biblical grocery store that you can take the truths of the word that's brought here today, take them home and prepare them for daily spiritual meal every day of the week. That's my challenge to you. We can boldly come to God because if you have trusted in Christ, we have God's Spirit within us and can know God. We can be God's friend. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for being an awesome God. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. Lord, not so that we can be wiser, but that we can be a reflection of your wisdom. God, we want to magnify you and glorify you. Make your name famous around the world. God, help us to have a closer walk with you every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We all look forward to spending time in heaven, but spend time with God every day today. Next week, Jeff plans to share from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. My challenge to you guys also is to preview that. Jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and see what is there for us. Thank you guys. Have a great afternoon. You're dismissed.